Evening, everybody. Okay, I hope everyone received the makaros we sent out.
Rabbi, if you're just using, the sefer, which mitzvah are we beginning with?
Lamed Gimel.
Lamed Gimel. Okay.
Mitzvahs kibud avayim.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Mitzvahs kibud avayim lechabed ha'av v'ha'im. Shnemar kabed es avicha v'simecha. Right? Uba ha'perush ezehu kibud ma'achil u'mashke malbish u'mechase ma'achnis u'motzi. Okay, so we know we have to honor our parents. We give them kavod. What does that mean? So it's interesting that this is the Gemara in the Medrash Halacha that associates things that we often consider what our parents did for us when we were 3 or 4 or 5, right? What are the things we have to do for them? Feed them, give them what to drink, dress them, cover them, right? Pretty amazing. Take them in, take them for a walk, take them out, right? Bring them home, take them shopping. These are things they did for us when we were 3 and 4 and 5. This is really if necessary, what 20-year-old does these things for a 40-year-old parent? Here's a spoon. Let me feed you. Come on, let me take you for a walk. What is that? What it means, the Medrash means that if it has to be, which, you know, Nebuchadnezzar often happens, parents are living longer and longer, is that I have to be the one to do the things they did for me, right? Like, you know, they put a guardrail by my bed so I wouldn't fall off the bed. They wheeled me in a carriage when I couldn't walk, right? They brought my food, my clothing. The only thing is, and we'll have to pursue this. This is probably the one of the biggest contribution of tshuvas when it comes to our relationship with our parents, is that nobody says that a parent of a 2-year-old should start putting down expenses. This is what I paid for your food for the last 6 months. This is what I paid for your clothing for your first 12 years. This is what I paid for your, and then give them a bill when they get older. Of course not. What a parent does for the child as the child grows is from the parent's wallet, right? Parent doesn't have now it's true that a parent can put chores to a child and say, hey, you're living in my house, you're wearing my, I buy your clothes, I take care of your food, right? Kids are good socialists, you know, everything is taken care of for them, you know. But as soon as they wait, there's some, at one point that maybe at the age of 13, my father told me, look, you're going to MTA, you have off on Fridays, get yourself a job. You're not going to wake up late on Fridays. You're going to get out and go to work on Fridays, right? So at what age do you think a parent has the right to tell a child, do chores in the house because you have to earn your keep? So, and I say there's an age because the Rambam paskins that at a certain age, get this, a parent can actually use miser money for certain expenses for the child. I wouldn't say just, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, but certain extra expenses. You can use miser money. And the Rambam says already at 7. One thing is for sure. If you have a 30-year-old child who has trouble paying the rent, absolutely, the concept charity begins at home. You can use miser money to help out that child with rent. I'm not sure that it's tax deductible. That's a different thing. I don't say that what you can use for miser money is always the same as our IRS tax code. No, I don't believe so. Okay. What you're not supposed to use is let's say obligatory money. Like you shouldn't use miser shaney coins to pay for your children. You know what I'm saying? You get that?
Right.
It has to be something that comes from chulin. But our miser money we can pay for things that are not expected of us. It's not expected of you to keep paying rent of a child after, you know, and when that might just be a convention depending on the family. Some families I know, if a child is over 21 and living at home, they ask the child to pay some rent. It's for your good.
Right.
And then sometimes the parent takes all the money they paid up and gives them it to them as a gift when they move out. Yeah. Okay. Right. It's a good thing. All right.
Almost like the implication of the paragraph you read, though, is almost if the parent doesn't need the child to do these things for him, then there is no mitzvah of kibud.
Of fulfilling these things. Now we'll see that there is a confluence of kibud and yira.
Right.
And I say a confluence because even though there are two separate mitzvahs in the Torah, I have on some of these pages a medrash halacha about what to notice when we put the psukim together. So if you turn past the Minchas Chinuch just for a moment, and even past the Mishnayos, and turn to the page that says Vayikra Yud Ches Yud Tes. You see it? Page 5. So right at the beginning of Kedoshim, in order to set up the foundation of a working society, Kedusha requires that there's a very strong, firm parental structure in that society, where parents are feared even. Right? The parents' bedroom is like the Kodesh Kedoshim. Right? It's the furthest room, it's a corner of the house, it's supposed to be worshipped. The children should not just indiscriminately walk in there. It should be like I'm not saying a trepidation, but an awe. Right? We're in awe of our parents. Now, of course, the Torah tells us to be in awe of our parents and to honor our parents. It never says to love our parents, because maybe that has to be earned to some extent. But the framework of our relationship with our parents is Hakara Satov. You did this for me, and if necessary, I'm willing to do it for you. But here is the basic halacha question that makes up many of these tshuvas. We all agree that a parent is the one who pays for these expenses for the 2-year-old, the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old. And then at some age, we can ask the child to do some chores to earn their keep, so to say, right? The question is that if I have to do this for my parent, as our parents are growing older, it's an incredible bracha if they're able to get to have these things done, meaning someone feed them, someone clothe them, someone, take them in, take them out. Whatever that may be, if there's some way that is set up where that's done, or that they're able to do many of those things on their own, that's a great bracha. But if they're not, and I am the one to do that, the question in the halacha is, whose expense is that?
Right.
Okay. Now, here in America, we have a safety net. Am I allowed to claim poverty? Am I allowed to claim, I'm not going to get into all this. There are special accountants and lawyers that deal with these things, how to make sure that your parents don't work a whole lifetime and then flush it all away in 2 or 3 years of catastrophic care or 7 years or 10 years, right? So there are all these catastrophic care insurance that you can all deal with. But the question is, if you don't have that safety net, does the child have to divest himself of all of his funds in order to pay for these things that my parents paid for me when I was in the other side of the coin as an infant? So the bottom line is the halacha does not require that. Okay. But if the child is wealthy and the parent is destitute, the child should not turn his back on his skin. It says, don't turn your back on your relative. Okay, all right. So, but if the parent has money and the child has money, then the child need not expend anything on the parent. Right? That's simple halacha. Okay, all right. So let's take a look at now what the Torah says about the awe in Parshas Kedoshim, just to show that there's a confluence of these two, of awe and kavod. Because this is a comment on what Aaron said just before, that so what? If these are the only six things that comprise kavod, and to be sure, the Meforshim lists many others, but if a parent doesn't need these things, to be fed, to be clothed, to be taken in, to be taken out, right, what are the six things in
medicine?
Right, to be fed, to cover, to drink, to clothe them, to cover them, to take them in and to take them out. So does that mean I don't have to show them any kavod? No, there are other manifestations of kavod, to be sure. Bring them the paper, bring them books they want. If they're in an old age home, make sure that they have company. Make sure that you visit them. Make sure that you call them every day. Make sure your children call them on Shabbos, for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for something. You know, ask them advice. Give them things to look forward to. You know, take them for their annual mammogram. I don't know, whatever the manifestation is. Those are elements of kavod. Right? I can give you 100 tangents of machnis and motzi. Right? Now let's take a look at the other one. It says ish imo va'aviv tira'u beshavsosai tishmoru in the same pasuk, which is an interesting tangent to us that whenever the Torah mentions parents, and it mentions three times in the Torah, once in the Aseres Hadibros and Shmos, once in the Aseres Hadibros and Devarim, and once here in Parshas Kedoshim, and in all three, the din of Shabbos is written right next to it. Right? In the Aseres Hadibros right before, and then here in Parshas Kedoshim right after. Why should Shabbos be connected to parenting? So it could be like a creation kind of connection, right? After the first Shabbos, did God go back to work? And, you know, he rested on Shabbos. Now, okay, now let me create more. No, he didn't. Hashabar Elohim Laso, says Rashi and Ramban, that God now endowed nature to reproduce itself. So now you get it, why parenting is so connected to Shabbos. Because God now gave it to man to say, okay, I created an Adam and an Eve, now you procreate. So that's why parenting is near Shabbos. Shabbos is celebrating creation, not only the creation of 7 days or 7 billion years, however long it was, but the idea that now man is to be a partner in that creation. Okay? All right. And the greatest partnership is manifest in what Eve said when she gave birth the first time. Kinisi Isha Sashem. And have acquired a man through God. Okay, so that explains the juxtaposition with Shabbos. But when it comes to awe, we see that the order is switched. It says a man shall be in awe of his mother and father, right? But when it comes to kavod, it mentions the father before the mother. The Gemara has two interpretations of this dichotomy. One is to teach that when it comes to awe and respect, parents are exactly equal. Right? We don't honor or respect one more than, or fear one more than the other. Rashi, however, says a second interpretation found in the Gemara, that the pasuk, these two psukim compensate. Ever hear of this?
Yeah.
Right, compensates. The one that's more likely to be feared is mentioned second. The one that's more likely to be honored is mentioned second. So we honor our mother more than our father. So we put the honor of the father. Now, the Gemara does ask, and I'm giving you like an overture of the Minchas Chinuch, is that if the mother and the father both ask at the same time for something, so the Gemara says, give it to your father first. Because, and this is a fascinating thing, in the Gemara it says, a woman must honor her husband more than she honors herself. The man must love his wife more than he loves himself. So if you can just picture the following, this is actually a true story that they say about the Beis HaLevi when he was learning with his father. they say he was about 6 years old, and his father asked him for something at the same time his mother did. And he brought for his father, because at the age, by the age of six, the Beis Halev, he was already well steeped in these sugyos. And his father said, why did you bring to me before your mother? So he said, well, Daddy, you know the Gemara. It says that, mommy has to mechabed you, right? So, and I have to mechabed both of you, but so I went through mommy to get to you, to give you the water first. So he said, maybe you should always honor your mother first, because your mother is your mother by testimony. There was a midwife who saw your mother give birth to you. But I am only your father by chazaka. Right? Remember the chazaka? Rov bi'ilo sachar ha'ba'al, right? Crazy thing, right? So he said that maybe you should give to your mother first, because she is your parent als proof. I'm only your parent als chazaka, an assumption. So the child, a famous answer, you ever hear? He goes, Dad, how would I be honoring mommy by giving her the water first on the assumption that maybe you're not my father? How would that be honoring mom by bringing her the water first? So that's an interesting thing for a six-year-old to say. But be that as it may, so the beautiful sentiment of a child having to choose between his father and mother, where he brings the water to the father first, because the mother is supposed to honor her husband more than herself. And then the father in turn gives the water to the son and says, bring this to mommy because I love her more than I love myself. Okay. I look, today you can get in trouble for these kind of things, but it's we see it in the male species all over the place. You go to a zoo and you see the male gorilla. He wants kavod. He wants respect. You ever see, they're standing tall, and you say, when you look at the gorilla, look at him, and they tell you, there's signs there that tell you how to look at the gorilla to show him respect. Because the gorilla expects some kind of, don't disrespect him. He knows respect. But the female gorillas don't care about that. Right? So that is just an interesting thing. I won't get into this now. I want to get canceled these days over these kind of things. But a woman needs love more than a man. A man needs respect more than a woman. So the Rambam writes it in the Mishnah Torah. A woman should respect her husband more than she respects herself. A man must love his wife more than he loves himself. Okay, so that's why the kabed is, the father is mentioned first, because, in that sense. But the Torah compensates each one and then lists them in the opposite order. Now, please turn with me to the Medrash Halacha, to page 6. Everybody know what the Medrash Halacha is, right? If you're in Vayikra, the Medrash Halacha is called the Sifra, or the Torat Kohanim. What you have here is the page of the Malbim. The Malbim printed his commentary it's not really a commentary to the Torah, it was a commentary to the Medrashei Halacha. Okay, Shmos, it's called the Mechilta. Vayikra, the Sifra, the book, Bamidbar and Dvarim together, Sifrei, because Vayikra alone has about the same amount of mitzvahs as Bamidbar and Dvarim together. And these are known as brises. When the Gemara wants to quote these statements, it's called Ditanya. When it quotes a brisa or a Medrash Halacha or a Tosefta, it's called Ditanya. If it wants to quote a Mishnah, it says Ditznan. These sources have the same authority as a Mishnah. Okay, it's just that Rebbe did not include it in this form in the Mishnah. Okay, so everyone see with me on page 6? You see where it says Ish? So essentially, what Medrash Halacha is that it derives the Halacha directly from the biblical text itself. Mishnayos don't usually do this. Mishnayos just tell you the Halacha. Okay, there's a great advantage to Mishnayos, of course, because if I want to know all of the laws of parents, it's relatively simple because parents are only mentioned in 3 psukim. I have to look at the Mechilta to a pasuk in Shmos, chapter 20. I have to look at the Sifra to a pasuk in Vayikra, chapter 19. And I have to look up the Sifrei in a pasuk in Devarim, in Parshas Veschana. And with all those three, I have all the laws of parents. That's relatively simple. But if I wanted to know from the Medrash HaHalacha, let's say the laws of Pesach, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I have a lot of psukim to look at in Parshas Bo. I have some psukim to look at in Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Kisisa, in Parshas Emor. I'm going to have some psukim in Parshas Re'eh, in Parshas Pinchas. Do you see what gift Rebbe gave us by putting it all into one address called Maseches Psachim? Okay. And then by the time the Gemara got finished explaining the Mishnayos, I needed the Rambam to do to the Gemara what Rebbe did to the Medrash HaHalacha. Because there are Gemaras in Chagiga that tell me things about Shabbos that Maseches Shabbos doesn't tell me. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, very important Gemara in Baba Kama about Shabbos that never says in Maseches Shabbos. Right? So that's the categorization, the classification, if you will, that Rebbe did. So here's what the Medrash HaLacha does, and let's learn with me, please. It says, Ish, Ein li ela ish, Isha minayin. Right? So I have the Havamina, that when it says, Ishimo v'aviv tirohu, every man must fear his mother and his father. How do I know that a woman must fear her mother and her father? Talmud lomar tirohu, harei kan shnayim. Right? Aaron, I think on our way home from shul this past Motzei Shabbos, we were talking about this grammatical situation. Right? Ish seems to be singular. Ishimo v'aviv tirohu. So that means that the Medrash HaLacha understands the word ish to actually mean the human species, meaning man, male and female, because it says tira'u, both of you, fear your mother and your father. Harei kan shnayim. Im kein lama namar ish. So why say ish at all? Just say if you want to say it in plural. Okay, so do you have any thought of why we should differentiate between kavod, between a man and a woman? We haven't defined yira yet. Yira is don't contradict them, don't argue with them, don't scream at them. If they're making a mistake, don't point it out in a judicious manner, right? Get it? So those are yira, okay? So let's take a look. The Medrash HaLacha gets right into the question I'm leading up to right now. It says, Ela sh- so in Kain, lama namar ish, why does it say ish imo baviv tira'u? Here's the confluence. Ela sheha ish sipuk biyado, veha isha ein sipuka biyada, bipnei sheyesh reshus acherim aleha. What does that mean?
The woman is herself, subject to other. She has other obligations.
And those other obligations is why the very same Mishnah. Now, please, forgive me for this quick turn, but the very same Mishnah that mentions this. Turn to page 3. Kol mitzvas habeina ha'av. Whatever parents have to do to for their children, anoshim chayavin v'noshim pturos. Men have to do, like giving a child a mila, give a child a pidyon haben, teach him a trade, teach him how to swim. Things, the obligations parents have for children, the obligations are on the fathers, and the mothers are exempt. They may want to help, but they're just not doing an aveira if they don't do it. V'chol mitzvah ha'av al haben, but whatever a child has to do for parents, echod anoshim ve'echod noshim chayavin. By the way, the Mishnah doesn't get off into this differentiation made by the Medrash HaLacha, that women and men might be different in what they have to do for their parents. The Gemara discusses it. So look, we see what now, because of that there are Rishus Acherim Aleha, is why the Mishnah here, look at the very next words. B'chol mitzvah asei she'azman grama anoshim chayavin v'noshim pturos. It's the same reason. The woman has babies running around her feet. She's got, okay, where's the man in Lady Madonna, right? she's got so many things, and now I have to worry about my parents too? Let my husband take care of that. Okay? Or my brother. right? So when it says in the Medrash, so why does it say taka? Why does it say ish imova avipti ra'u? Right? The answer is because yesh la reshus acherim aleha. She has other people, other reshuyos that are taking up her time and her energies. Okay? So that's the Medrash halacha that differentiates between man and woman. But that just begs the question. What is kavod? Is take them in, take them out, dress them. Now, to look at two lines from the bottom of this page. You see it? It says yud. See it? Ezehu mora. What is considered mora? Did everybody get this? Everybody get these pages online?
Yeah.
There's seven pages altogether. This is page 6. It says, Ezehu mora. What is or? Lo yeshev b'mkomo, don't sit in their seat. Lo, they could be mochel on this, by the way. Lo medaber b'mkomo, don't speak up before them. Lo soser is tevarav, don't contradict them. Ezehu kibud, machil mashkim albish machasem machmis umotzi. That seems to be a quote right from our Gemara. Okay. Now, so we see a difference between kavod and yira. And yira. Now, in yira, this is the confluence now. When it comes to the yesh reshus acherim aleha, which one of these two does that exempt the woman from? Kavod or yira? Kavod! Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. A woman can't say, oh, I'll contradict my parents. I'll sit in their seat because I'm married, because I have children. Right. So now I can yell at my parents. Now I can disagree with them and contradict them, right? So, but it, when it says ish imo, that teaches the man has to honor his parents, but the woman sometimes is exempt. That's on yira. Rishus Acherim doesn't exempt her from yira. Rishus Acherim exempts her from kavod. The kavod examples.
So that's good question.
The reference, Aaron, that you were talking about before. Okay, let's question. Go back into the Sefer Chinuch. Into the Minchas Chinuch, which is page 1. Okay, now, there are some other relationships that the Gemara says we have an obligation to respect besides our parents. Older sister. The king is actually a separate pasuk. But I mean, from this pasuk itself, right? Because the Gemara makes a drash. What does kabed avicha v'imecha mean? Honor your father and your mother. So what does kabed es avicha v'es imecha mean? Es is a filler word in Hebrew. It can designate a direct object, but it doesn't change the meaning of the word. So, remember Rabbi Akiva, first Shimon HaAmsoni darshaned every S, but when he couldn't figure out Es Hashem Alakecha Tira, he said, Kishem Shekibalti Schar Al-Hadrisha, Akabel Schar Al-Haprisha.
Right.
Just as I received reward from darshaning all of them, I'll receive reward for rejecting all of them. If I can't do all of them, I will do none of them. Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva, and explained, who does Es Hashem Lekecha Tira come to include? Wise people.
Your parents? Okay. That Chacham.
Yeah. You didn't have to say parents because parents already have a
plus. Right, have their own, yeah. Right.
So that was Rabbi Kiva's contribution to the maintaining the S's. So what do the S's of Kabeda Savicha Vesimecha come to add? So take a look at the underlined portion where it says, Achiv HaGadol, right? Anyone listening who has an older brother, I'm sure is very happy that you're listening to this. Vayein sham demarbinan mivov de ve'es l'rabos achich HaGadol. That's interesting. Not from the S adds something else. Who might that be?
Grandparents? No.
Teachers?
Well, it has to be in the realm of your family, your immediate family. That's an interesting thing in itself. The chinuch does not deal with grandparents here, but that's a fascinating thing. we have to only honor our grandparents as subsidiaries because it honors our parents. Which would mean, chas v'shalom, if someone has a grandparent but not a parent, then they wouldn't have the obligation to honor the grandparents. The obligation, of course, it's a right thing to do, and it's menschlich, and I'm talking about as a mitzvah.
Okay,
and that's actually going to be some of what we'll discuss now, because the Vav adds older brother. What does the S add? Step-parents.
Step-parents, yeah.
Okay. My father's wife, who is not my mother. Okay. So in such a case, surely it honors your father to honor her too.
Adoptive parents,
perhaps. Yeah. Okay. All right. Although that wouldn't be as an adjunct. Right. In other words, let's say someone has a father married to a stepmother. So I have the obligation to respect her, but if they divorce, I don't have the obligation to honor her anymore. I still have the obligation to honor my father, right? If someone's parents are divorced, then he does not have to honor his father before his mother, the way I described before with Rav Chaim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, the child can choose sides if honoring one defies the will of the other. Not, I mean honoring, but in other words, one parent says, I want you to do this, and the other parent says, I don't want you to do this.
Choose.
The child may choose. How do you know which one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The mother does not have the obligation to honor her a man she's not married to anymore. Right? Now, sometimes the one is being unreasonable about the other. They're just being vicious about the other. The child has to decide. There's another very famous halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. They both agree that the child has no obligation whatsoever to obey the parent when it comes to a disagreement about who the child should marry. Since I don't have to, according to the halacha, use my own resources to take care of the machil, and all those things, I'll do those things, Daddy. But it should come from your wallet since you have money, mm-hmm. Right? So, but the other example is who I want to marry. Parents have to be smart about this. You know, the Sforno says it in last week's Parsha. Al ken yazov ish es aviv ve'es imo. Listen carefully to the words. V'dovak be'ishto. The Sforno says, I have advice for parents. Don't get in between your child and the one they choose to marry. Now, look, obviously there are some cases where, I'm not even going to talk about a chas v'shalom intermarriage or something like that. But everyone has to know when to hold them and when to fold them. You can have a frank conversation with your child and tell them, I think you're making a big mistake, but you know what? You have to live your life. I lived my life. And now I'm just going to give you, because I love you. I just want to tell you, unequivocally love you, and I will always support you. But the Sforno just says a person has to be closer to his wife than to his parents. No, nothing more needs to be said. It says, Alkein ya'azov ish esaviv esimo. Listen to the words. All right? Because in the ancient world, you really were very often married very close to your clan. Right? Look, right. Jews have for 2,000 years married very close to our own. Yeah. Or, our own Ashkenazic, That's why you have all these Brachagene kind of things that within the Jewish community, because of this very small, relatively speaking, very small gene pool of people in the world, right? For many hundreds of years. All right. So that's therefore here's the chakira I'm asking now, and we'll have to table some of this for next week. Is that there are these drushes from the S's, Kabed S, your stepfather, together with Avicha, your father, Ve, your older brother, S, your stepmother, who is, right? Your stepmother who's married to your father. So, okay. Now, if this drasha of the S and the Vav are subsidiary to the parents, right? Then it could be, says the Minchas Chinuch, that my obligation to honor my older brother is only an obligation as long as my parents are alive. You get it? And it's a doraisa. These poskim say it's a doraisa. And you can probably see it that it's like because it gives nachas to the parents that the younger children are aware of that they're there. This is an elder and this is, you know, look to them for advice. And now look, when you're 8 and your brother is 11, you know, that's a world apart. When you're 68 and your brother's 71, you know, things might get a little closer or, you know, maybe even 28 and 31. But that's really what he's saying here. Okay. So the extra S's, the two S's in the Vav, okay, so the first thing he does here is to question whether these obligations are actually a doraisa. I found in the Malbim, here, listen to these words, ish imo v'aviv tira'u. You hear the words, I'm just read the words. Ish imo means the husband of your mother. The aviv and your father, Tira'u, you get it? The right. Husband of your mother, and of course your mother, right? Who's that saying? But also the husband, ish, imo, but it doesn't mean a man shall fear his mother and his father, no. Ish, imo, and that's the question of whether this is a drasha gemura or just a cute little Hasidic verik.
Right.
But that's where this is going also. The Ramban paskins that this is a mamash adoraisa, the mitzvahs to honor step-parents, and older brother, and the Minchas Chinuch takes it, since it's a subsidiary from these S's and the Vav, and there are really drasha gemura in the Gemara, es habasar, to include the skins of animals and then other things like that in Kavanos and Kachim, and there's no doubt that these are considered Torah laws. So an S can be like a riboy, can add, you know, you can add things to the, that are not explicitly stated in the pasuk, and the Ramban's derech here is that it's mamash adoraisa gomar. So you see, he quotes the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam does not seem to say so. All right, the Rambam is generally what needs more pshat, more of a direct connection to the pasuk. He agrees that it's a dire sofim. But therefore he says that it's b'chaye avos. I underlined that towards the bottom. Ki ritzonam b'kach. The fathers want these things. My father wants me to respect his wife, even though she's not my mother. But when the father dies, so that, and the proof that the Minchas Chinuch gives is a Gemara at the end of Ksuvos. Do you sound familiar? The Gemara in the Ksuvos, I quote this Gemara in so many eulogies over the years. It's the death of Rebbe. Does it ring a bell? Remember the death of Rebbe Yudan Nasi and Davkuf Gimel and Davkuf Dalit. He calls in his children. He calls in his great students. And it describes like a large, large description of his last few days. And one of the things he warns his sons to do is make sure that you continue to respect and honor your stepmother. So what's the proof? What's the proof from that? That this is not a mitzvah.
Ah.
Because if it was a mitzvah, he wouldn't need to tell them. In other words, after I die, it's not a mitzvah. Once I die, you know, you really don't have any mitzvah at all to take care of her.
Right.
But I'm telling you to. So then it becomes, because I told her that that's what I would do, but whatever it is, but I told her that she would have the security of knowing that my wealthy children, you know, Rebbe's children, one of them served as the Nasi, you know, so that my children would look after you. And I told them that I would exhort them to do so and command them to do so. Mitzvah lishmo l'divrei ameis. But the fact that the Minchas Chinuch says, the fact that he had to tell them this is a sign that once that since these are subsidiary to the pasuk, honor your father and your mother, and who else? Okay, but those honoring those people are only mitzvahs insofar as that's what is considered the honor of your mother and father. Okay. And right. as it says, so it's the bottom here on page one, ki ritzonam bekach.
Right.
Okay. All right. So now the question is all of the things, since they're subsidiary, would it make sense to say, look at the top of the second column, right? It's benin yira, right? That hakavod shemechuyav la'aviv limo chayav gamkein be'ishim hanal. That if this is coming from the koach of the same pasuk, and whatever we said about the machil mori that we have to do for this woman too, right? While the father's alive, afterwards only if he commands you. But that all these things, your older brother, you have to do all these things too. Is that true? Ach mitzad hasvara kiven de kibud masur akavzu b'chachamim imkain ba'vivi mo sheich b'kavod sheloli kroo so b'shmo ukidomer amavurakan. Rambam, Halacha Gimel, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Beis. Aval achiv efshar de'ein ze bichlal hakavod. V'lo matzinu shiyu nizharim b'zeh kimo shim nizharim b'avi v'imo. You never heard of that. Again, he's conflating kavod with yira. Because what you call your father not sitting in his chair, those were yira examples. Right? In other words, whatever we have to do for our older brother, even though it stems from the same pasuk as what we have to do for our parents, he says, look, I'm not, he keeps writing, I'm not the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not, you know, I'm just here to analyze things that no one said before. Right? But I'm just saying from the Mitama Svara, it doesn't make sense that whatever the halacha requires in the many tracts written about our obligations of children to their parents, the svara just does not seem to require us to treat the older brother with the same due respect. Okay, all right. I think that's where we'll stop for now, and I want to do part two next week. All right.
Shkach.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, everybody. We should be zocher. And an important, very important point is on this mitzvah is that the mitzvah of kibud av va'em is incumbent upon us throughout our lifetime, not just the lifetime of our parents, throughout our lifetime. V'chayev, whether it's saying kaddish, whether it's saying writing a yisker lamp, or making memorials in memory of parents, these are obligations that transcend the life of the person we remember. Okay?
Wow. Okay,
everybody. Have a great night.
Great.
Be well.
Great.
Good night, Rabbi Shulz.
Well, too, everybody. Thanks Bye-bye. For checking in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night. Bye.
Well, too, everyone. Bye-bye.